want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 164 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on July 27th, 2010. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Monty Ryder.
If you want to participate on our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our Talkcast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with our other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. We have a voicemail line, 206-350-3GPS, and we're on social media at twitter.com/GC Podcast and geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is brought to you by worldcaching.com, your source for everything geocaching. Visit us for the coolest cache containers around, the home of the original magnetic bolt caches, creepy spider caches, golf ball caches, sprinkler caches, utility plate caches, fake rock caches, and of course, those nasty nanos. Check out our exclusive World Catcher Sun Catcher Geocoin, the fourth coin in our World Caching series. We shop all the other caching stores and choose their best stuff, so you only have to shop at one store for all your geocaching needs. Geocoins, pins, logbooks, travel tags, custom card decals, cache stickers, custom t-shirts, first to find prizes, we have it all. We also carry the largest selection of Groundspeak outside of Groundspeak itself, and we ship worldwide. Worldcaching.com, the largest selecting of geocaching gear in the world. Welcome back, Monty. It's been a long time since you've been on the show. I know you've had a lot of telephone troubles and stuff like that, but welcome back.
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's definitely great to be back. Things have definitely been crazy here, dealing with the phone issues, and also I'm currently in a workman's comp issue due to repetitive stress injuries to both my wrists. They've been taking me on and off the therapy, so I've got my good days, and I've got my days where it's so bad I can't even hold a phone or a microphone, which is why I've been a little bit sporadic on the show. It was also, we had a great deal of fun two weekends ago when my wife and I finally got to meet Daryl and Dree for our event that we had here. Pictures are still posting to the event page, and all the reviews I'm getting from everybody who attended is that they thoroughly enjoyed themselves. And I even hear Dree had a great time. She picked up a couple of coins that were, we had a group there that was actually selling coins on the event site.
Oh, she did indeed, and we appreciate the event. It was a lot of fun. Gave us a kind of a rapid introduction into Florida weather, though, because it was a lot hotter than I expected.
Now, that is definitely not the time of year that I normally set up an event. Next time, please make it a little bit more towards the winter. Trust me, yeah. Coming in December, it really is not going to be that bad. You know, 2 years we've done it where I'm actually still in shorts, but the weather is absolutely perfect. 78 to 82 degree weather and absolutely perfect weather to be out caching here in Florida. But during the dead of summer,
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, we brought back a bunch of trackables from your event. I want to say it was about a dozen total. And, you know, swap some more and, you know, everything else. So we're still sitting on, I want to say, about 9 trackables that are in various states of needing repair, or we have to take them somewhere to get a photo with them or something like that. But, you know, I love taking these travelers and doing the photo missions and whatnot. You know, we had a lot of fun going around the World Showcase at Epcot, taking photos of the white Jeep travel bug in every country. Haven't had a chance to get through those photos and post them because, you know, it's kind of busy. But, you know, I did get some chance on the trip to work in the car mostly on Caches of the Round Table 30. So that one's going to come out next week, actually. Now, there's going to be a Thursday next week. I just have to get the final compress and all that kind of stuff done. But it's going to be a longer show again, and a very different show, and I think it's pretty good. Andy, what have you been up to?
Well, it's been our county fair this week, and we have actually the second largest second biggest county fair in the country. So it's a lot of good fair food that I've had, and just a lot of fun taking the kids on rides and seeing, you know, just doing all the fair type of stuff. And then it also happens to be my birthday tomorrow. So I'm kind of just, it's a huge busy week for us, you know, the fair this week and my birthday and everything. It's been really, really busy. But you know what? I look forward to the county fair because it is the second biggest. And it's funny because I guess I'm spoiled because we go around to, you know, like when we were out at Midwest Geobash and things like that, it was at different fairgrounds. And I'm like, this is your fairground? Like, this is really, really tiny. So I guess I'm spoiled.
Well, you know, if the fair food there is anything like the fair food that we've had, good means that you don't want to tell the doctor what you've been eating.
No, definitely not. Or you know, you have to save up too because it kind of blows the budget on food because it's so expensive. But it's definitely worth it. The steak tips that have the mushrooms that are fried in there and the potatoes, and it's just, those are amazing.
Yeah, it's the kind of food where you go, you eat nothing but the junk food that they serve at the fair for a couple of days, then you lay in bed for the rest of the week.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, like I said, it's one of my favorite times of the year, and again, you know, so I always look forward to it, and hopefully this next week I'll probably be dieting to kind of get off all the bad junk that I've had this week.
Any really cool events or exhibits that are planned?
Not really. You know, we always like going to the tractor pull and things like that, but that's yearly. Other than that, it's just normal fair type stuff.
Very cool.
Oh, definitely. Tomorrow, Andy, you have a happy birthday.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much.
The news. An update for Geocaching Buddy dropped from the App Store this week. Version 4.3 looks to include bug fixes for iOS 4 and the addition of a new search bar, but release notes were not available as of recording. We'll link to the release notes for Geocaching Buddy in our show notes.
Groundspeak posted a warning on geocaching.com site about an upcoming site update. They will be taking down the site starting at 1 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time or 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time or 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. We'll keep our eyes open for the release notes once the site is back up, and listen next week as we discuss those changes.
Geocaching question of the day. The Bad Cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is The Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience, and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Do you use custom maps in your GPSR? 42% of the well-rounded geocachers that replied said they do use custom maps in their GPSR. Maps such as Garmin's Bird's Eye, OpenStreetMaps, and my favorite, Northwest Trails. So tell me, do you use custom maps in your GPSR? Want to find out all this and more? Come to my website, cachingnw.com, and follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Well, tonight we are talking with Dan from cachingtree.com. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Hi, how are you guys tonight?
Oh, not too bad. You have a very interesting site. It's in a brief couple sentences. Can you explain to me what cachingtree.com is?
Sure. Cachingtree.com is the equivalent of a geocaching family tree. So basically, you can go onto the site and tell us who you credit with getting you started in geocaching, and maybe even tell your story, and the site will map out your history as far as who's gotten who into geocaching. And some people can trace their history all the way back to Dave Ulmer and the very first geocache that was planted.
Very cool. Now, this is an interesting idea, and I don't think that it's been done before. Where did you come up with the idea for it? Is this something that you have as a hobby in general? Like, do you like doing family tree type things, or how did you come across this?
Well, I have a friend that is into social media, and he actually studies software projects, and so talking with him about the things that he studies kind of got me started in the whole thing. But really, it was just I observed that there are these ties in the community, in the geocaching community, and they're really underappreciated because, you know, the person that got you started in geocaching really has a lot to do with what kind of geocacher you are, and sometimes those ties can lead to more connections that you can make in the community, and they really enrich events and other activities that you might do.
Now, how long has the site been around?
Well, I started it in April of 2009, so it's just a little over a year. Yeah, so it hasn't been all that long, but we have, I believe it's 2,039 registered geocachers on the site so far.
And how would one go about registering, and what do you need to do that?
Well, if you visit if you visit cachingtree.com, there's a form that you can fill out there, and it's just a three-part form. It lists your geocaching username, the username of the person that got you into it, or you could use an identifier like Boy Scouts or something like that if it wasn't a geocacher that got you started. And then if you'd like to optionally tell your story, there's a box there where you can tell your story. And then once you hit the submit button, it takes a little while to process, but you'll appear on the tree within 24 hours.
Now, I'm assuming this is a manual process. Do you take all that information in and then create the tree itself?
That's right. That's where the 24 hours comes in.
Now, in our chat room, someone is asking, is there any celebrities or political figures or any just other interesting people that are in the mix there as far as the people that are credited?
Well, there are a few people. Ted Nugent is somebody that's been listed. Various organizations, including the U.S. Army, the Boy Scouts of America. Some people credit someone like, I think Rain Lightner listed Jeremy as the person that got him started, Jeremy being the guy who started geocaching.com. So there are a few caching celebrities that are also in there. We've got, I think, some of the top 10 cachers in the world are listed on the site. So, yeah, there are a few.
Now, are there any other, like, statistics that you'd like to mention? Like, how often has the site hit? Things like that.
Sure. Well, it looks like on average we get hit about 10 times a day, and that is compensating for the lulls that we have in the winter when it seems like nobody's really into geocaching, and then things sort of tend to spike in spring and during summer. So right now it looks like we're averaging about 3 to 4 registrations per day. So, you know, some people are coming back to visit and examine the site, and other people are just there to sign up for the first time. And, you know, speaking of other statistics, we actually do have a stats page up. And if you go to cachingtree.com/stats, you can see that we have a total of, the number has just ticked up to 2,041 registered users. And it looks like we found a total of approximately, these are just rough numbers because I gather them on a daily basis, 2,978,000 geocaches. So that's quite a few, but that's what our community's done on a whole altogether.
Sure. Now, just I guess on a technical level here, is there any specific software that you use to create this? How, you know, I guess on a technical level, how do you go about taking, like, your process, you know, once you get the information in, what all is that on your end, since it is a manual process?
Yeah, sure. So the basics of it are I've created a Google Docs form, and that's what you're using when you make your submission. And that is automatically put into a spreadsheet that I have that maps the most basic part of the tree itself. And then forgetting any statistics that I gather, I just have to manually go to the website and check on, you know, how many caches you have when you signed in and that sort of thing. And then I try to keep tabs on some of the more active cachers on the site.
Now, is there a search function, for instance, if I wanted to search for a particular cacher to see if he was in there, is there a way of doing that as well?
There is. You can do whatever your browser's on-page search is. So usually it's Control-F or Command-F. and then you can type in the username, and it should jump right to wherever that user is on the tree. It's a little bit difficult to find them otherwise, so it's an important thing to bring up.
Yeah, and that is true, because, I mean, anyone who has seen a normal family tree, it's kind of easy to follow, but when you have so many people and so many different links back, it does become quite a wide tree.
That's right. And actually, some future versions that I've been toying around with and trying to perfect simplify the find function and also help you to narrow the tree down to only the people that you're interested in viewing right at the moment. But those are changes that are set to happen later this year.
Very cool. So now, exactly, like, I guess, where have you, who, being the person who started this, where have you come from? Who is your, the person that you were created or you were referred to geocaching from?
Well, I actually discovered geocaching through a friend of mine at work, Scooter Gal, and she was kind enough to take me out to geocaching one day at lunch to explain what it was all about. And I'll be honest with you, I thought it was a little wild when I first heard about it. I thought it was something that I might not be interested in doing. But once the bug bites you, I think it's something that you don't really have a choice about. So I was addicted.
True. Yeah, that is true. You know, I find it myself, you know, when I first heard about it, I was kind of like, huh, that's kind of cool, but okay. And then, you know, I started caching and now I'm hosting a podcast and all sorts of other things.
Exactly.
Now, any other statistics on the site? You know, we've mentioned, you know, how many people come, you know, per day. We've mentioned things like that. Any other, and maybe some celebrities and things like that. Any other random statistics that you just think kind of jump out and you find interesting on the site? I know, because a lot of us here are kind of stats junkies. Anyway, I like to keep my geocaching stats. So as far as the website goes, do you have any other stats that you find just interesting?
Sure. The ones that I find most interesting are the connections that people are making. So I rank the people that have submitted their information by how many descendants they have and by how many children they have. So in other words, how many people they are responsible for getting into the cache overall and how many people they're directly responsible for getting into it. And so those are pretty interesting little tables, and I hope to see those grow more as we get more and more users on the site. Right now, the current ranking person by total descendants is Mountain Mike, and he has 29 people under him. And Fu Manju is the top person by children, direct children. So eventually what I'd like to do is develop this out a little bit further so that you could see how many geocaches in total Mountain Mike's family has and compare that with, say, how many Fu Manju's has or someone else, and then see, you know, based on families, who's actually finding the most caches, because it seems that some people are able to get a lot of people into geocaching for the initial sign on to the website, but they sputter out after just a few caches. So it's interesting to me to see who's able to really sustain the community and keep people coming back, and you know how the whole sport is growing as a whole around the world. And, you know, I'll tell you a couple of other things that I find interesting. We've got geocachers that are coming from really all around the world. I mean, South Africa, Australia, Germany, the Netherlands, Saudi Arabia, Russia. And it's really interesting for me to see the spread of geocaching from continent to continent, as well as from person to person.
Now, do you find that the people that are at the base of the tree are the most prolific cachers?
Well, surprisingly, I have a list of what I call the orphans, who are geocachers that we really don't know where they came from. And it seems that there are quite a few people that are high-ranking geocachers that have found, you know, somewhere between 1,000 and maybe 10,000 geocaches that are in that category as orphans. So I'd really like to hear from them and see how they got into it and, you know, hopefully complete that family tree so that we can figure out, you know, what the real ties are there. And I found that it seems like a lot of people that have common descendants, in other words, if they have more than one generation or if they have a number of children, those people tend to geocache a lot more than people with just a single child. And one more interesting thing is, it seems like there are quite a few children that have found more geocaches than their parents. And I would consider that sort of a hallmark of a real cacheaholic or a geocaching maniac.
Yeah. Now, someone in our chat room asks, are there any pets that are signed up with caching accounts that are influencing others, like especially other pets?
I'm sorry, other pets?
Yeah, like I know a lot of people have dog caching accounts. Has anyone signed up, you know, like their dogs actually have caching accounts? Has anyone actually signed up their geocaching dog under the caching tree that you know of?
Oh, yes. I believe there are a couple of animals that are signed on there. And I don't know that they have been listed as, you know, somebody signed their pet up and listed them as the person that got them into it. But I think some people have actually listed their pets as who got them into it.
That's interesting.
Kind of a roundabout way to do things. But unfortunately, I don't have stories behind most of those, so I don't know the whole picture. But certainly, if they want to resubmit the entry, I'd love to hear the story.
Now, do you find also a relationship between like the find counts and the descendants? Like, for example, do people with large find counts tend to have gotten more people into the sport?
Not necessarily. I think that right now there's not quite enough data to really see that. If we were able to get maybe in the neighborhood of 10,000 entries on the tree, then we might be able to judge that a little bit better. But right now, a lot of people that are listed as a parent are, like I said, they're orphans, so it's hard to see if there's really any much history behind that, or, you know, they're listed with a single child, so the vast majority of people only have one child listed, and therefore, statistically, it's really not all that significant whether or not you have more children.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on our show, but before we wrap up here, can you tell people where they can find your site at again?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can visit www.cachingtree.com, and you can submit your information there. We'd love to have any entries that we can. We're always looking for sponsors and donors, so if there's someone out there that would like to make a donation or would like to advertise on our website, we're always open to that. And yeah, we wish you all the best of luck and keep on caching.
Thanks again. We want to thank you guys for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. We want to thank worldcaching.com for our sponsoring this episode. Join us each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line at 206-350-3GPS with feedback for this or any of our other episodes anytime and leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.